Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Hey, good morning, Vintage Faith. My name is Matt Kladnick, and I am super excited to be sharing God's word with you today. If you're here with me and you want God to speak to you today, why don't you just type in the comments there, say, speak to me, because I think God wants to speak to us. And so, God, would you just help us to be aware of your presence right now, no matter where we are, no matter what is going on around us, God, we want to experience your presence today. God, it is your presence that makes everything better. It is your presence that makes everything make sense. So, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak to us clearly today through your word. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm super excited to jump in and continue our series we're on. We're in a series right now called Back to Basics, and we are going back to the basics. You may know this about me, or you're going to learn something new about me, but I played tennis in high school. Can you tell? But I played tennis in high school. My coach at the beginning of every season would start off the first practice of every year. He would start off by telling us, this is a racket. This is a ball. This is a forehand. This is a backhand. This is a volley. This is a serve. This is an overhead. This is a net. He'd do the whole thing. And he'd start off with the basics. And from there, our tennis games developed into different things. But he'd always start from this one place. And that's kind of what we want to do with this series, Back to Basics. This world is increasingly weird. It is increasingly chaotic. There are changes happening left and right. And 2020 taught us an awful lot about how we're going to navigate change. Well, I have a prophetic word for us today. There is more change ahead. And so we want to start off into this new year with a firm foundation. And that's why we're doing this series. And we're looking at Foursquare. We are a Foursquare church. That is the name of our denomination. And we're talking about our four basic tenets of our doctrine. And so last week we talked about Jesus is our Savior. And today we're going to talk about two of our tenets. We're going to mash them together here. It is Jesus is our baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is our healer. And then next week, Pastor Derek is going to be talking about Jesus is our soon and coming king. So those are the four branches, the four kind of tenets of the Foursquare doctrine. You know, many people have a life verse. Do you have a life verse? I think many people actually do. It's kind of that verse that kind of helps you get centered, helps you get refocused, and kind of helps give you a little bit of perspective and purpose for your life. As a denomination, our denomination has a life verse as it is, and it is Hebrews 13:8, and it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, one of the things I like most about being a Foursquare church is that Jesus is the center of it all. If you've noticed in those four kind of core values of Foursquare, Jesus is the focal point of all of them. We are a part of a denomination that is built on Jesus, and I can't think of a better foundation than that. You know, Paul called Jesus the cornerstone. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul refers to Jesus as the cornerstone. And a cornerstone was a part of a building. It was the first laid stone. And this first laid stone gave the rest of the building its focal point of what would be true, what would be right, what would be established. So if you think about it, Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the launching point for everything else that matters. And so as we build our foundation, Jesus is the center of it all. Don't you kind of want to sing it? Jesus be the center of it all. Go ahead, sing as you are. Life has order and purpose and security when Jesus is the cornerstone. And last week, we talked about Jesus as our Savior. If you missed last week, feel free later on to click on back and you can watch that one some other time. But today, we want to look at these two other core tenets. Jesus is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is the healer. Each of these two topics. I'm going to do two of them today, but each of these could have a six-week series dedicated to itself. So I want you to know on the front end here is that I am going to brush over these and try to give a really broad overview of each of these things. And we're not going to get to be able to go very deep. And, you know, honestly, my sermon today, it may actually bring up more questions than answers for you. And I'm okay with that, if you're okay with that, because this is what I'm going to do. I love talking about the Holy Spirit, and I love talking about Jesus as our healer. So I'm going to give you my email address. If at any point in this sermon, if you'd like, man, I don't really understand that, or I don't like that, or I've got something else to add on to what was said today, you take some time and email me, and I will make time for you, because I would love to hear what you have to say in these subjects. Because, you know, honestly, I've got a lot to learn myself. And I believe in the scripture that says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So I would love to talk to you more about Jesus as the baptizer and the Holy Spirit and Jesus as our healer. So here's my email address. Write it down or commit it to memory forever. Matt@vffchurch.com. So that's Matt@victorfrankfrankchurch.com. I would love to answer your questions. Anyways, let's keep on pushing on forward. Number one, Jesus is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verses 5 and 8. Let me read these to you. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. In verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I love these verses about what Jesus is saying about the Holy Spirit. Now, this is kind of some of Jesus' parting words before he ascended up to heaven. And Jesus wanted to make it very clear that when he ascended to heaven, he wasn't bailing on the people. And I think this is what maybe the disciples maybe felt like. Like, in light of everything Jesus said and all the promises that he made, how he invested in their lives, that he would just now just zip on away and leave them to themselves to try to figure out all of life and all of purpose without him being with them anymore. That would have been overwhelming. Jesus wanted them to know, and I think Jesus wants us to know, that he doesn't abandon us, but he has actually given us something greater. And Jesus had to go to heaven so that the Holy Spirit could come to us. You know, instead, it's actually better that Jesus went to heaven. I mean, isn't that kind of weird to think? It's better that Jesus went to heaven so that the Holy Spirit could come to each of us. See, the presence of God doesn't reside in a place. The presence of God doesn't reside in a person. But because of what Jesus has done, the Holy Spirit is able to reside and dwell in us as a people. The church is not a holy place. The church is a holy people. And so we have his Spirit alive and well inside of us. The gift of the Holy Spirit has given us access to the same power that Jesus walked in. The same power that Jesus walked in. Romans 8, verse 11, it says this: if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. In other words, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it dwells within us. And what we saw and what we know about what Jesus did, we should anticipate that very similar things could be possible and probable through us. Now, that's kind of great. I think that's kind of scary, but that's kind of amazing that God would want to do through us the types of things that he did through Jesus. So just think about some of the miracles that Jesus was a part of. There were miracles of food, turning water into wine, calming storms. There were healings, there were deliverances. There was amazing miracles that Jesus did. Because of the Holy Spirit coming to each of us, we have this potential to walk in those similar things. Have you ever forgotten to not charge your phone? I don't know if this has ever happened. Maybe your charger broke or you just forgot, but you got up in the morning, you started off your day, and you're running your errands, you're doing things, you're at work, and you realize your phone is dying. Now, this may tell you more about me than really be relevant to you, but I hate that feeling that my phone is dying. And I hate that feeling that I have to be cautious about how much I use my phone, that I'm making phone calls, that I'm running from a opportunity to try to get a little bit of charge just to make it to the next thing. That is a horrible feeling. If you could just imagine looking at your phone right now, or maybe even go ahead and grab it and look at it yourself, but you see that little bar on the top that shows the battery? How does it make you feel when that bar goes all the way down and it's just a red little line? Yeah, that is like, that's a horrible feeling to me. But I want to let you know that that is a picture of how some of us feel spiritually. Some of us, probably too many of us, feel like that spiritually, that our spiritual battery is just drained down and we're just holding on. We got just enough juice to do the bare necessities and we dare not add anything added to our plate for fear that the thing is going to crash on us in the middle of the day. And I want us to know that the Holy Spirit, this source of power, has been given to us so that we don't need to be constantly going back and getting charged. Many of us think that going to church on a Sunday is our way of getting recharged and refilled so that we can jump back into the world and expend our spiritual energy on the things that matter. But because of what Jesus has done and the access that the Holy Spirit has to us, you don't need to go to church to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You just need to experience His presence afresh right now, right where you are, wherever you are, whenever you are. And this is one of the beautiful things about having a deep and intimate relationship with God, is that we have access to His power. You don't need Sunday to be plugged into a power source. You can be charged at any time because He is with you always. The marking and the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives is really important. And to understand exactly how important the filling of the Holy Spirit is for us, let's look at how important the filling of the Holy Spirit was for Jesus. And we're going to look at Jesus' baptism in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Jesus' baptism marked a very significant moment in Jesus' life. Prior to Jesus' baptism and the Holy Spirit falling upon him, Jesus did nothing miraculous. But after his baptism, his ministry career started. His ministry of influence expanded exponentially from that time forward. So you and I ought to experience and anticipate a very similar storyline, that our life, it goes from this place of ordinary to this encounter with God, to this filling of His Spirit inside of our lives, and now a propulsion into this life of power and authority, much like what Jesus has had. You know, I think it's significant to look at the first experience that Jesus has. So Jesus lives an ordinary life, seemingly ordinary. I mean, He's the Son of God, and like there's definitely something unique about Jesus. But at His baptism, things start to change very quickly. It's important for us to think about what exactly, after Jesus' baptism, what did He do? My guess, but what I would imagine, is that Jesus gets out of the water and He holds a revival meeting. He books SoFi Stadium and does a big crusade. He heals everyone that He looks at. He starts walking above the ground and hovering everywhere. That's what I would anticipate when the Spirit of God fills up Jesus to be God incarnate there on the planet. But what does Jesus first do after His baptism, His filling of the Holy Spirit? He is tempted and tried. He is 30 days in the wilderness alone. And I think this is good for us to realize and think about. When we think about the Holy Spirit filling our lives, I think sometimes we want that to be an indicator that things are going to get easier. If I could only be full of the Spirit, then man, things would just be simple for me. If I could only be full of God's presence, then nothing would bog me down anymore. If I could only be full of His presence, that hard things would become easy, that my relationships would fall into place, that my finances would fall into place. I think we think incorrectly about what the outcome is of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because for Jesus, the first thing that happened after being filled with the Holy Spirit is something really hard. And I think we should anticipate something like that too. As we grow deeper in the things of God, as God starts to open up our eyes to the greater ramifications of His life of being alive inside of us, that it isn't that things get easier, that actually things can possibly get even more difficult. You know, you need God's presence. You need His Spirit in you, not just to thrive, but some of us need His Spirit to survive. Like, we need His Holy Spirit inside of us to thrive in life, but some of us just need His Holy Spirit just to make it through the day. And thank God that He's given us His Spirit for both those things. You know, if you've ever felt ill-equipped and discouraged to do the types of things that you feel like God has called you to, the problem probably isn't God. The problem is that you are likely moving in your own strength and not His. Let me just expand on that a little bit. I think some of us feel really discouraged sometimes that we can't accomplish the things that we feel like God has put in our heart, and we get discouraged and we get frustrated. I think a lot of times the problem isn't the dream. The problem isn't the vision we have for our life. The problem isn't the purpose we have for our life. The problem is often is that we are drawing from a power source that isn't His Holy Spirit. We're drawing from our own strengths and talents. And as a pastor, as someone who preaches frequently, there are times when I have preached sermons and I've gotten in my car and driven home and I've said to myself, I did a great job. I've done that. I've been driving home after Sunday and I've said, man, I crushed it. I did great. Those are the moments where I have preached out of my own power, my own authority, my own giftedness, and not in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I look forward to, and I hope this is one of those sermons that hits you in a way that this isn't just the charisma and giftedness of Matt coming through to you, but there's something that resounds like God is speaking to me right now. Because that's what you need more than anything. You don't need a good word from Matt. You need a good word from the Lord, right? You need to experience His presence and His power for yourself. And so sometimes we can do that. If you feel miserable that you're not gaining any ground on the mission that God has for you, my assumption is that you're leaning into your own strength and not into His strength. And so you need to find some ways to tap into His power source, to recharge yourself personally. You can experience His presence wherever you are, in your living room, your laundry room, your car, your workplace, on a walk. His presence is there, ready to be met by you. Number two, actually, let's just spend a second there. And before we keep powering on here, I want to pray that you would feel God's presence afresh right now. And it is a wild world. I would love if we could all be in the same room to do this together. But I believe that God can work through any sort of medium that is presented there. And so wherever you are on the other end of this screen, I'm going to pray for you that you would experience His presence afresh. And so whatever posture it looks like for you to receive, I just hope you'll do that. And for me, I'm just believing that God's going to meet you right where you are. Let's have a Holy Spirit moment together, okay? So God, thank You so much for Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for Your desire to be close to us. Thank You for the power that we have access to with You. And God, right now, I pray for everyone that is watching this sermon today, wherever you are, whenever you are. God, I pray that these people would experience Your presence afresh right now. Holy Spirit, would You fill us to overflowing? God, where there are hearts that are aching and broken, God, I pray that You would heal them in Jesus' name. Where there are spirits that are like dry and dusty, God, I pray that refreshing would come right now. God, where there are people that are depressed and lonely and broken, God, would You send Your joy right now over their lives? God, where there are marriages that are just broken and crumbling, God, I pray that You'd bring restoration, bring peace, God, bring courage. God, where people right now are just feeling just at the end of the rope, that they're just feeling out of energy, out of passion, out of touch. God, I pray that they would feel right now Your embrace. God, thank You for being such a good Father that comes and meets us right where we are. God, I pray that You would wrap us up. Would we experience Your love and Your goodness right now? In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, but I feel better. Let's move on to number two here. Again, if you have questions about the Holy Spirit, you want to talk more, please email me and we will do that. Number two, Jesus is our healer. Jesus is the healer. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, He saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve Him. That evening, they brought to Him many who were oppressed by demons, and He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illness and bore our diseases. Jesus was many things, wasn't he? And the one thing that got him maybe the greatest fame and the greatest criticism is that Jesus was a healer. And you know, for Jesus, healing was more than just fixing some sort of physical condition. Because actually, if you look at the stories of people that got healed by Jesus, it wasn't that Jesus just healed a physical condition. Oftentimes, the physical healing led to greater levels of healing in different areas of their lives. And so, like, when someone experienced a physical healing, that all of a sudden they were freed up for relationship healing, that they were open up to the possibility of mental healing or emotional healing or even spiritual healing. When Jesus healed someone physically, it was often the start of a healing journey that impacted the totality of that person. Because Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever, we can trust that he is still healing today. I can trust Jesus to put my broken life back together again because he knows what my life should look like. Okay? I can trust that Jesus can put the puzzle pieces of my life where they belong because he knows exactly his best intentions of what that should look like. Now imagine doing a puzzle and not knowing what the picture is supposed to look like. I mean, when you've done a puzzle, you look at the box, right, of the puzzle, and it shows you this is what we're making. So you can start looking for the right colors and put it all together. Well, I trust my healing, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. I trust my healing in all these areas of my life to the one who really knows me. And I trust that he is going to put the pieces back together the way that they belong. One of the challenges that we face here on earth is that there are so many things that break us. There are so many things that take us apart, right? But there are just as many solutions that the world gives us to put ourselves back together again. Okay, let me say it like this. The world has a bunch of ways to put us apart. The world also has a bunch of possible solutions to put us back together. But if you're like me, you have realized that when you try to allow the solutions on this earth put you back together again, they don't put you together in a way that is lasting. Oftentimes, the solutions are just numbing and they actually don't fix any of the real problem. Think about someone who gets drunk all the time. Now, that's probably not because they like the taste of it. It's probably because they're trying to hide from something. They're not dealing with the root issue. And I think this has been the story of too many people that I know. Instead of seeking ultimate healing, we seek a temporary numbing. And because Jesus is our healer, and when we have this truth firmly in that we're standing on this truth, when we understand that Jesus is our healer, we don't settle for numbing healing opportunities anymore. We don't settle for temporary resolution to the pain of life. We go straight to the healer who puts us together like the way we belong, because we trust that he knows where things belong and how we're supposed to fit and how we're supposed to function. You know, when Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, she was made well. And the testimony of what happened is started a wave of healings in their community, right? The scripture we read talks about Peter's mother-in-law. When she experienced healing, she serves. And after that, the sick people keep coming to Jesus and heals them. Healing people is what Jesus does. Now, putting back to people is what Jesus does. But you know what? If you and I want to reflect this healing nature of God, the first thing we need to experience his healing touch on our own. You know, trust me, God wants to put you back together again. God wants to put you back together emotionally and mentally and physically and spiritually. God wants to put you back together again. And God offers you something more than just a numbing of your pain. He offers you a complete resolution of your pain. And then once we experience his healing touch in our lives, we get to share that story with the world. We can trust that Jesus is going to put us back together again because he is our healer and he is faithful and he's good. Let me just pray for any of you today. And as we talk about healing, I want to experience healing also myself. I love the fact that we're not just talking about a physical healing, but we're talking about a whole revitalization of our lives, and Jesus can start that in us. So God, I thank you for every person watching this. God, I speak healing over every body. For those that are suffering with illness or battling COVID or whatever condition that people are struggling with, God, we thank you that you are our healer. We stand on that truth. God, I pray that you would bring healing into bodies and minds and hearts and emotions right now in Jesus' name. God, I pray for bodies that aren't working the way they're supposed to. God, I pray for every cell and every ligament, every bone, every muscle, every joint. I pray for it to work the way that you have called it to work. God, I pray and I thank you for great doctors and medical teams and therapists and counselors. God, I pray that you'd give them wisdom so that we could seek complete healing in our lives. And we wouldn't just talk about the surface issues of our lives, but you would invite us to go deeper and deal with the root issues of our life. So we pray healing over our bodies and our minds in Jesus' name. Help us to be not only those who experience your healing, but those who share your healing with the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you everybody for clicking in today. And as we talked about Jesus as our baptizer in the Holy Spirit and Jesus as our healer, again, there is so much more to say about these subjects. And there are so many scriptures that would be so powerful to mention in our time together. Please email me and let me know that you would like to have a further discussion and we'll make that happen. That would be a joy for me. Thanks everybody. Be the church.